This is a forceful message of Scripture. It uses descriptive, active words, laying aside, means to strip off desire, closely related to crave. Believers are to strip off something and to crave the Word of God. We're talking about growth, more importantly, spiritual maturity. The believer is to strip off things and laying aside, and then put on something else. There are some things that defile a believer. Most of the things that defile a believer is us. We get in the way. We get in the way of our own blessing. Imagine that. You trip over your own feet. But we just don't see it. We've all heard this little story of somebody on a roof praying to God, "Hey, help me. Oh, God's going to help me." Well, God sent the police. They said, "Get down off your roof. It's flooding. Let's go." Didn't work. God sent a little boat through there once the river got higher. And they said, "Nope, God's going to help me." Well, God sent a guy in the boat. Helicopter comes right down before the house, before the house is completely engulfed, and the person saying, "God's going to help me." They end up drowning and dying, and they're, "Why did you help me?" And God's like, "I sent the police, I sent the boat, I sent the helicopter." Sometimes we get in the way of our own blessing, and we don't realize it. We. Note, too, that Peter is always talking to Christians. He's not talking to non-Christians. He's focusing on Christians. All the things that we are mentioned have to do with love for one another. Love with a pure heart. The very things that we are to strip off are dirty and soiled. They're dirty and soiled. They prevent us from loving our brethren. They have to do with how we treat one another. Believers are to strip off malice. The word malice here means a few things. One in particular, wickedness. All kinds of forms of evil, and it is the word that strikes in all vices of all men. We all do it. Being filled with all righteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, deceit, debate, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventions of evil things, disobedience to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, having a form of righteousness, but denying it. And that's Romans 1:29-32. I paraphrased the last part of that there. Without natural affection, that's the funny one there. That almost describes this whole generation. God puts them together naturally, and what do? We change it completely. The devil has corrupted completely. That's another sermon. In a narrow sense, malice means deep-seated feelings against a person. Hatred that lasts on and on, intense and long-lasting bitterness against a person. It means ill will. Actually wishing that something bad would happen to somebody. Nobody ever does that, right? I'm guilty many times. It means to be vicious, spiteful, and hold a grudge. It means that a person has turned their heart over to evil. He has no longer any good feelings towards a person. None whatsoever. He could care less how things happen. He can care less if something bad happens to somebody. The charge is strong. Believers are to strip off malice, all of their evil and wickedness, all of their ill feelings towards others. Believers are to be pure and clean and to live a pure and clean life before their brothers and sisters. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Ephesians 4:31. Titus 3:3, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings. Believers must strip off guile. The word is to deceive and mislead people, to set bait as to catch them. That's my favorite definition of that one, because we all do it. We see politicians do it. We actually see, you see a politician up on a stage, you'll see a good reporter do it. They'll ask a question in a way just to start, stir something up. We definitely do it as Christians. Absolutely. There's a whole handful of list of questions some you can ask a Christian. Hey, you believe in this? You believe in that? You believe in that? It's always controversy, one way or the other. My favorite thing is this. When somebody wants to ask me a controversial question, show me in the Bible your viewpoint. Show me. Because if you can't back it up with Scripture, you don't know what you're talking about. 100%. I like the at the Baptist church, I've said before, we have a list. There's only two or three things on it. I won't even argue pre-trib or post-trib, because that's somebody you got to read Scripture. And to argue that point, you have to read the whole Bible. You can't just take this out of context or that out of context to try to make your point. It's just not going to work like that. To set bait as to catch them. The bait or deceive in order to achieve one's own personally end. They're basically trying to put words in your mouth. Hey, he said he's not that. No, that's not what he said. You're taking something that somebody said out of context to prove your own point. Note that guile or deception has to do primarily with words. When a person wants something, he tries to get it. He tries to get it by flattery, by false promises, by false tales, by suggestive talk. And this one's funny, by off-colored suggestions. An example of an off-colored suggestion. Man, I wish somebody would take them out and put them in a hole. It's an expression. But you say that to the wrong person. When I was an Army recruiter, my number one lead source was referral. My number one referral lead source was from a felon. Because a felon wants to change his life, he comes in there to join the Army. He can't. He's a felon. Most of these times, these guys are really bad guys, so they really can't join. They probably can't get a good job the rest of their lives because they're a felon. But I treat them with dignity and respect. Never ask them for a referral, never did nothing. But they go find somebody who thinks I can help them before they follow their path. But one time, I made a comment sitting at a bar with one of those guys and said, yeah, I can't believe my boss did this. Not thinking. I suggested that dude go beat that guy up. I'm like, calm down. And this is one of those guys who decided, I'm going to take care of this for you. No, don't do that. Leave that alone. So you have to be very careful. But when a person wants something from you, they're going to use your weakness or your arrogance. They're going to try to appeal to you. There's a gentleman at the other church. He always tries to appeal to my intelligence, and I think it's hilarious. Yeah, always. He actually does it like, hey, you know, he'll pause and then he finishes it because he had to think how to say it to me. And I just laugh. I've been to life in captivity, so I know how to do interrogations, so I can see it coming a mile away. But it's just, he doesn't mean anything by it. It's just how he is. But he appeals by deceiving and beguiling a person. Believers must strip off guile. Believers must strip off hypocrisies, with a plural. The word means one who pretends, puts on a show, acts like something he is not. The first word simply meant one who replied or answers for another person. You're acting, you're portraying. There's a good friend of mine, he's trying to start a church. He's a young guy. I don't think he's 30 years old. Most of the people he hangs out with are upper 60s and 70s. So if you talk to him for a minute, it seems like he's pretending to be an old man. He's pretending to be mature than what he is, instead of just letting it naturally flow. I don't think he realizes he's doing it, which is good that he has mentors that are older. That's a great way to do it. It's going to be a great man for that. But when you're on the outside looking in at him, you're like, something just ain't right. It's just a little off with it because he's trying to force it too bad, too much. You know, you're not your grandfather. Just be yourself. Note the plural hypocrisies is used. All kinds of hypocrisies are meant. A person is a hypocrite when he acts as though he loves and believes in God, but he does not like God. His actions doesn't show he likes God. When he pretends to follow God, but his life is living something different. When he shows a concern for the things of God, but his real concerns is for things of this world. When he professes to believe in God, but he questions it, adds to it, or takes away from it. I feel sorry for those people the most. Anyone who adds to or takes away from the Word of God to prove their own benefit. In less than 2 years, the Methodist Church is going to vote on something. They're going to vote on letting gay people preach from the pulpit, married to another man. That's what they're going to vote on. In case you don't know, they're going to vote on this. They voted last time and it went, I believe, 53-47. 53, no, that's not biblical. But don't you think it's odd that 47% of all believers in this church, and I mean the Methodist Church as a whole, 43% or 47%, we're going to vote in favor of that? When did we throw the Bible out the window? When did that happen? But we did. I say we because we allowed it to get that far. We allowed it to get that far. But I feel sorry for whoever wants to change the Word of God for that, because all I can do is pray for them, because they're going to get held to a bigger standard than we are. Jesus warns of hypocrites. Severely warns them, believers must therefore strip off any resemblance of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is one of the sins that God hates above all. Hypocrites shall receive greater damnation. I think my problem with the word hypocrite is as a chaplain and a pastor, I get called a hypocrite a lot. Oh, let me tell you, because I'm not the most serious person in the world. There's no reason to come in here and be angry all the time. I got to be me. I'm not going to try to put on something that is not me. That's just who I am. And who I am right here is how I am every time you'll ever see me for the rest of my life. I know when to be real serious and when I can be comical about it or when I think I'm funny. But the problem is when we see Christians, brothers and sisters, doing something that we think is sinful, what do? We poke them in the chest. You're a hypocrite. You're doing this. No. I'm a fleshly sinner and I sin. That's the problem. We all make mistakes. Everybody in here, seated or otherwise, standing, sin. Believe it or not, most of us have sinned today. Does it make us a hypocrite? No. You're covered by the blood of Christ. You're covered by the blood of Christ. You will fight with flesh all the way until you die. Every single one of us will sin up until the day they die. I don't know if I said it last week or the week before last. Some of us are going to be surprised that we're going to die a sinner. We're not going to die perfect. We're all going to sin. But we like to throw a hypocrite in someone's face, right? We all do it. That guy's a hypocrite because he does this. That girl's a hypocrite because she did that. Matthew 23:28. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times thou shalt depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Before I came to preach at this church, I saw a man. He wasn't the bishop of the Methodist Church. He's real close up there. Stood up there and was pro-gay marriage. This is a man who's on the short list to be bishop in this church, in this Methodist system. And then when he gave his reasoning, he said, well, I have a lesbian daughter, and she's married to another woman, and they gave me a beautiful grandchild. And I'm just sitting in the back, trying to not yell. The guy next to me is trying to jump out of his seat. My dude, calm down. You're trying to get your license. Let this man just speak. But I think, how did that man get in that position? Instead of sticking with what he was preaching on for 30 years, he changes his mind because it affects him personally? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? These are the people we vote for. These are the doctoring the devils, the seducing spirits that we put in charge. I think everybody on that panel that day should have been fired immediately, 100% done. And as long as I'm in charge of the church, I get to vote. And I will vote him out. And I will vote against all this nonsense. Excuse me, a little off on a rant there, a little tangent. Believers must strip off envies. A person without God lives in envy. The word there for envy means a person covets what somebody else has. They covet it so much that they can't even think afterward. They covet other people their envy of their money, their position, in my case, looks, joking, possessions, popularity, social status, recognition, authority. And it's always plural. Nothing in here is singular. It's plural. This means that all kinds of envies and jealousies. It means that we are not to look at a person with envy and what things they possess. Somebody had a 64 Monte Carlo out here. Nice car. I'd like to have something like that. But I don't envy him for that. That's a nice car. That's nice. But the thing is, when we want it, we can't stop thinking about it. We let it affect us, and we just go after it constantly. A person who envies doesn't have peace or happiness. He is dissatisfied with the things that he has. He's actually dissatisfied with his life. And if you're envious in your heart, you can never fill that void, because you're always looking at what other people have, and that's what you're getting. It doesn't make any sense. Envy often leads to physical problems such as migraines, high blood pressure, ulcers, and illness. I'm sure we've heard this if you've been on social media longer than a day. You know, if you don't forgive somebody, you're letting them rent space in your head. I have lists. There's some people who've done some horrible things to me and my family. I can forgive them immediately. Immediately. Doesn't mean I'm going to be around them. I'm not going to welcome them in my home. I see them in public. Hello, how are you? Shake their hand. Hey, stay blessed, brother. Have a good day, sister. God says forgive. Doesn't mean forget. But keep you out. But I'm not going to live in malice in my head and wish hateful things on people in their head because of what they did. I wish them the best. Every single one of them. Knowing that most of the times they're actually the hypocrites. They're putting on the facade in front of everybody instead of what's really going on. But we got to get through all that. And the only way we're going to do it is through God. God, but thanks be to God our Savior. He saves us and he delivers us from envy, from guile, from jealousy, so we can move forward. But when we criticize a brother and sister in Christ, we are slandering one of God's own children. We are actually slandering a son and daughter in Christ. This alone should keep us from speaking evil of our brothers and sisters. It doesn't. Go and trust me. I know. I'm a horrible person. Something happens to me, I instantly want to react at times. We have to consciously change ourselves to do that. We have to. We don't have a choice. Think about our testimony that we're ruining when we do act like that. Everybody knows this guy goes to that church over there, and they saw you get into an argument at Sam's Club or whatever. instead of just walking away and letting it go. There is only a loving compassion for others, especially for those who have come short and fallen. Instead of criticizing somebody who's falling in Christ, we need to bring them up forward. Somebody does something wrong in the church and everyone gossips and everybody talks about it. You don't think that person knows what's going on? They hear. They got social media. They know everybody's talking about them. Instead of loving up on them and say, hey, don't worry about it. God forgives you. Jesus loves you. Just let that go behind you and move forward. We talked about a month ago about falling forward. Everybody falls, but fall forward. Learn from it and we'll move forward collectively. As the big church, not a little bitty denomination, the big church, just move forward. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The thing we need to crave is the word of God. Remember when you were first saved? You couldn't wait. Couldn't wait for church. Couldn't wait to open the Bible, to tell somebody that you learned something. Sometimes we lose that. We lose that craving. We think we plateaued. Oh, I'm there. No, we should always be climbing up forward, always. Always study the Bible. I'm an extremely busy person. But I have to set that time aside. If I don't, I feel like my whole day, my whole week is messed up because I missed something. Always, I gotta learn. It always has to be moving forward. When I go to these three Bible studies throughout the week, sitting in the room with these older men, I always learn something. Because they'll read the scripture and see something I've never seen before. And it's amazing how the Word of God can just speak to you and guide you. And it'll help us overcome all these fleshly desires. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, thank you for what your Son's done on that cross for us, Father. He took our punishment, Father. He walked out of that grave to let us know we're going to be with him one day, Father. Father, help us cling to that. Let us cling to what Jesus did on that cross for us, Father. Let us cling to the Bible, Father, your scripture, your word, Father. Help us study it so we can use it to shake off our fleshly desires, Father. Let us leave out of here and be the people that you want us to be. Let us take one step forward, Father, so we can be the salt and the light of this earth that you want us to be. And it's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.